There's another couple down at this end. Mr. Hayashi?
I need a little bit of clarification here. You're growing, I don't know who to ask this question, but they said that the crop on the top of the hill is oats. And on the other one, they said it could be silage. That's Mr. Schimmick telling me it could be silage. And my next question is, during dry weather, is there anything in the ponds that you pump up during dry time?
In answer to your first question, we grow oats. We harvest it as silage. We harvest it as wet, not as hay. We don't dry it as hay. We harvest it wet, so obviously the yields are much higher than they would be if it was harvested as hay. And in answer to your second question, when there's insufficient wastewater to irrigate, we do supplement with fresh water.
Yeah, but during the year, in the non-rainy season, is there any water that's being pumped up to those fields from the ponds?
If needed, yes. We would pump fresh water up to the freshwater pond up there and use it.
No, but is there any water collected in the ponds during the dry season?
There's a little, not much. There's the watering troughs and the urine is about all that.
Okay, so the next question is, so when you pump the water up from the ponds up to, was it 12A or whatever you call it? Right. And then you disperse that onto your silage crop.
Right.
Does it continue to grow or does it get burned out?
It grows. I don't know of any cases of burning our crop.
Okay, that's all I needed to know. Thank you.
Can I ask a follow-up along those lines? The USDA, it was right here. The USDA was reported as saying that never heard of triple cropping. Can you address that, please?
I didn't talk with that USDA representative, but it's easy to triple crop oats or certain other crops in this climate in California.
And that's, in fact, what you do?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks.
Mr. Chin?
Yes.
Can I ask a follow-up question?
Sure.
I think this is for Mr. Perez. You mentioned that there was a domestic well on site, upgrading of the disposal field?
Yes, sir.
And do you know where that well is screened, how deep it is?
I'll need to verify that, but it's at least over two. The depth of the well, total depth is probably 250. Screening, I'll have to verify that, sir.
So it's as deep as the ag wells that are on this,
Yeah,
site?
The ag wells are downgrading, so this would be pretty much about the same depth, I would think, as far as the depth, total depth of the well.
And who does the ag well or the domestic well serve?
We have some areas that would serve their up gradient of our operating facilities. So we do have
how many
facilities? It's got, I believe, 8 connections to it.
8 connections?
Yes, sir.
And you're pumping water from the down gradient ponds to an up gradient pond, correct?
Downgradient pond to, yes, to pond 12A.
How far is the well from the upgradient pond?
It's on clear on the other side of the property, so it's actually along Iverson Road. It's not even anywhere near the pond. If I had the map, I could show you. But
and how far away is the nearest downgradient domestic well from your facility?
That I don't know what the. That'd be out of our property, so I'm not sure what the closest downgrading domestic well is.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah.
Mr. O'Malley, go ahead.
Thank you, and I think other board members have got most of my questions answered. A few minor things just to understand the operation. I was curious as to, I understand in the pictures that the trash collection areas were not on this property, but is there consideration for the trash storage areas and equipment that might be parked or operations equipment, how it's stored and any drainage related to that that would have an impact on groundwater? Just, you could comment on that?
Senator Malley, can you repeat the question, please?
Well, I was just noticing that picture may not have been on your property, but
yes,
somewhere,
sir,
on your operation, you have a lot of the equipment, and it may be parked or stored in an area, and you may have an area of trash accumulation that's stored, and I'm wondering if any precautions are taken around those areas that would prevent stormwater contamination.
As far as the trash goes, it is, we do have bins there, so we have a contract, to my understanding, with a collection, trash collection service. So we do, you know, any supplemental trash would be in the area, it's removed from the site. You know, as far as equipment is concerned, no equipment's parked on asphalt. Equipment's parked on or areas that are maybe bermed, and so that sort of thing would be, you know, maintained as well.
Okay. And I think my questions would be for our water board staff, if they could approach, or whoever handles this. And thank you, sir. And maybe along those lines, I assume, just like any commercial site, there's some review of area, parking areas, for example, if there's a lot of equipment and there's, even if it's on pavement, you do some consideration for runoff, and if there's hydraulic fuel or fluid, for example, you consider those items.
We have a stormwater program that talks about controlling discharges from those types of facilities or those types of operations. And we have an industrial stormwater program that, for industrial sites, regulates what's supposed to come off of those sites. Not every industry is subject to those regulations, and I'm not sure if this agricultural operation is subject to the industrial stormwater operation.
By your inspection, it's a curiosity, but I know you could have a lot of equipment on an operation like this. And I'm just wondering, is there any consideration when inspections are done for considerations like that?
The primary purpose of the inspection is to determine whether there's compliance with the permit. Should we notice big oil stains on the ground or something like that, definitely we would ask questions about it.
Okay. And I think one of my biggest concerns is the potential for cost shifting to a jurisdiction. I think Mr. Jeffries brought up some questions. It sounds like this will be, we'll get some information when we have a monitoring system in place, but have there been any complaints or concerns raised by any municipality or any other user of water in that area? Of concern, or that they have any evidence of monitoring that they've found some contamination.
And they suspect that it's coming from the feedlot?
Yes.
No, I haven't heard anything like that.
Okay. Thank you. With that, I would be prepared to move staff's recommendation.
Okay. Okay, we have a second. Mr. Briggs has a comment.
Well, a question. Mr. Thomas asked the Gallo representatives about the nearest down gradient domestic well or wells. Do you have that information?
I don't have that information, but I did look at a map that Monterey County Water Resources Agency prepared that displayed a number of wells, supply wells. But I don't recall the distance from the site. Those wells would be in the middle of an agricultural area, the Salinas Valley, Lower Salinas Valley. So even if those wells showed elevated concentrations, that doesn't necessarily mean that it came from the feedlot. There are lots of people applying lots of fertilizers out there.
Matt, you were raising your hand?
Yeah, I was involved.
Never mind. I already saw it.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, Mr. Jeffries.
I'm not going to support the motion that's before us simply because I think the whole crux of this permit should be with the groundwater monitoring plan. I think that's really the key, and the historical use of that property has caused a lot of nitrate contamination in that particular area. And I think it's important for this board to see that plan before we approve this permit. and that's the reason I can't support it. It's just historical information that's out there, and the possibility of additional contamination just concerns me greatly. And without that monitoring plan to assure me that there's some kind of protection, I just can't support this permit at this particular time until I have that plan in front of me.
Mr. Chairman, can I make a response?
Of course.
To that? I just wanted to explain a little bit about the legal context of the permit. And EPA had regulations for confined animal facilities that were in place, and I don't know, about 10 years ago, they proposed to revise those regulations to make them significantly more stringent, including this provision for a nutrient management plan. They engaged in lengthy litigation and ultimately ended up with the new regulations, which include this nutrient management plan, which is essentially brand new. The regulations went into effect not long ago, and so new NPDES permits for confined animal facilities for the first time ever have to have this nutrient management plan. So this permit requires that. There would have been no requirement to have that plan before this permit. So if you postpone acting on the permit, you'll postpone the requirement to implement the nutrient management plan and get the information. So I just wanted you to know that the consequences are, with respect to the nutrient management plan, that you will not have that requirement in place. And they were required to develop the plan before they could get the permit adopted. They've done that. There have, you know, been some comments, but they do have to revise that plan yearly to take into account the new information they'll be developing that's required now by the new NPDES regulations. The second part is the concern about the groundwater monitoring. That is not required by federal regulations in the CAFO regulations. That's required by state law, and you could do that in two ways. You could, the executive officer or you could issue them an order under a different section, 13267 of the Water Code, make them do the plan, or they could do it in this permit, which is what the staff has proposed. Either way, it'll take you some however long it takes to develop the plan and implement the plan, and there is no legal requirement to have public review of that plan. There wouldn't be under the NPDES permit, there wouldn't be under 13267, but the staff has proposed and offered to allow for public comment on that plan before it gets adopted. So again, if you postpone the permit, you'll again postpone implementing groundwater monitoring, which hasn't not been required, you know, for whatever reason. Maybe it should have been, but it hasn't been. Now this permit would require that and allow for public participation in developing that plan. If you postpone adopting the permit, again, the consequence will be legally that it'll take some time then to get the plan going. This will get it going immediately. So I understand Mr. Jeffrey's concern, but I just want you to know that not adopting the permit won't make that happen any faster. It'll make it slow down. And, you know, certainly you could ask the staff to bring it back for some report on what happens, but again, it won't get you the results any quicker to not adopt the permit.
Mr. Hodgson?
Mr. Shimmick suggested adopting the plan, but bringing back the issue in a year. Can we put some kind of a short term on the adoption so you get to come back to this issue after we have some of the monitoring data and so forth?
Well, again, my concern is that if you adopt only a one-year permit, it'll interfere with the requirements in the permit that go for 5 years and require them to keep doing things with respect to the NPDES aspects. And, you know, from a legal standpoint, if you want to have the plan come back to you for review in a public meeting about it, you could certainly do that. But I wouldn't recommend that you only adopt a one-year permit because that interferes with them complying with the NPDES CAFO requirements, they would only have 1 year that they have to do, and then they couldn't plan for after that. They wouldn't know what's next. Well,
what would be the procedure then to address Mr. Jeffrey's concerns? And
you would direct the executive officer to bring it back in a year to have this board have an opportunity to review the monitoring program and decide if you want to make changes in it.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I modify my motion to include we adopt staff's recommendation as given, but we include a request to have a report back by staff after this monitoring program is put in place for an update.
Okay. Well, we may have some further modifications to your motion in a minute. So let's hear whatever else we want to, you know, put forth at this
Did
point.
I confirm one, the second would accept that modification?
Yeah. I will accept.
Okay. Here's my concern. I would like to, 180 days is just a long time, and there's like no set point where we're really going to have the monitoring plan in place and well sampled. What would be a reasonable time frame to shorten that 180 days down and to try to get things implemented? I mean, is that 6 months is a long time? Does it really take that long to generate a groundwater monitoring plan?
I think that can be halved. Cut in half, 180 days, instead of 180 days, 90 days, 3 months to develop a plan.
Well, but maybe we can. What does.
Mr. Chairman, yes. My concern is there are several variable inputs to this timeline.
Right.
And it really could be dependent upon members of the public extending the questions. I think it's more reasonable to say we want to see this as soon as we can and have staff bring it back, but to have an arbitrary number where the applicant doesn't have control over the timetable, we may not have time control, I'm concerned about that.
And I'm only thinking of the first time frame where they have to get the plan back to staff.
Right.
That
understanding
I understand.
After that, things could go sideways beyond their control. But if the 180 days is a very generous amount of time to come up with a groundwater monitoring plan, I'd like to shorten that down to a time frame that they could come up with the plan. And we could, you know, hopefully come back in a year and have some data to look at.
Well, and while we're on that, I assume we'll take some consideration. I don't know if weather has an impact on that 180 days and contractor availability.
That's just for the plan.
It's engineers sitting down and geologists and crunching numbers and looking at groundwater flow. And
so we think the geology reports are already in existence sufficient. That could be drawn from to do this plan?
We'll
find out.
Yeah.
The consultant for the discharger discussed it with his client and said that they could produce the plan in 120 days.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, one of my concerns, and the reason I brought this issue up, because we didn't have the plan in front of us today, was that I'm sure some of us board members on occasions will have remember that we've had plans in the past, and for one reason or another, we never get the reports at the end of the 5 years. And that's one of my concerns. And I think this monitoring plan, as I have said, is a key to the whole permit, because that will give us insight of actually what is happening in that particular area.
I agree. I think monitoring is important. That's the first thing I thought of. But monitoring is just the detection side.
I understand.
Of the permit.
But that detection can determine what is going on with that property and how the use is being used, and determine how we've put our permits to in the future and what requirements that we would have. They could be more stringent or they could be less stringent.
I believe if you detected something in a well, then we have enforcement capabilities in the existing permit.
Yeah, but I'd rather be proactive than reactive. That's my thought. But
end of my comments, Mr. Chair.
All right.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we would all want to see the report and have the information. Question for our attorney. It sounds like our option is to approve a five-year permit, but the permit requires this monitoring be put in place. Let's say the permittee does not produce that monitoring that's required. What options would the board have, let's say, in a year?
Well, the permit includes timelines to submit the plan and it could include, and I don't know if it does, but include that the plan has to have deadlines in it for implementing the plan, does it?
The permit doesn't say that, but clearly they have to have deadlines for putting it in wells. We want wells in as soon as
right,
possible.
Right, and so the permit is with respect to the plan, could say the plan has to be submitted by whatever date, and then upon approval, and include dates for implementing the plan upon approval of the plan, so that you're sure that you have an enforcement mechanism if they don't implement the plan. So that's one option. And then basically, if they don't meet those deadlines, then they're in violation of the permit and subject to enforcement.
Right. So I'm thinking that actually to achieve what you want, the way to do that is to approve the permit, because the new permit process requires this monitoring to be put in place, and they'd be in violation of their permit if they did not get this monitoring in place, let's say, within a year.
Correct.
So by not approving the permit, they don't have a requirement to do the monitoring under, and we would be basically forcing them to be out of compliance because there's a timeline to review and approve a permit. Is that my correct understanding?
Well, the result of not taking action would be that the existing permit remains in place, but it doesn't include either the monitoring program or the nutrient management plan requirements and other things that were made more stringent by the federal regulations.
So if we approve the new permit, then they are required to implement this management plan.
Right.
And I think my motion incorporates that and includes a report back. So, Mr. Chair, I would call the question. I think we're there.
Can we cut down the 180 days to 120 days
in
your motion so that they have to produce the monitoring plan and submit it to staff on that shorter time frame?
I am concerned then if there is something comes up for 30 days, we're going to have a whole process of coming back and reviewing this. I'm comfortable with the 180 days. If there is, folks are very confident that we won't have to come back and have this discussion again.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
We requested monitoring plans, groundwater monitoring plans, in a much shorter time frame. We requested them in 30 days and gotten them. So it's a plan to do groundwater monitoring. It's not the groundwater monitoring. It's not the installation of the wells. It's the plan to do it.
And Mr. Miller, just so let
me go ahead and accept that modification if we can call the question after that.
Dr. Hunter?
Yeah, I just want to be really clear. Issuing the permit and calling for, I heard staff say there are no deadlines right now for implementation of the plan, groundwater monitoring plan. So I would like to see, I'm asking to have dates, a year or 2 years or whatever is a standard time for implementation of groundwater plan. And also the 120-day point, what review do we have? I mean, how do we give input to the plan if we feel it's inadequate, we feel that it doesn't address the problems today?
The 120 days is for the discharger to submit the plan to staff. We don't see it. Staff does. And staff is suggesting they need 30 days to turn it around with comments back to the discharger.
And then when do we have a chance to review and input? I would not want to see us waiting 5 years to have a chance to change or make any modifications to the groundwater monitoring design, which is huge after the fact.
I think what we have before us is maybe we would see it in a year with some data. That would be the board's opportunity to first take a look at what's transpired.
So what we look at in a year is an implemented groundwater monitoring system.
Yes.
Right, and that's totally consistent with the norm. I mean, if you were reviewing groundwater monitoring plans, you would have 10-day board meetings every month. I mean, you know, that's not the norm for the board to review actual plans.
Right.
It would be very unusual to do that, and frankly, probably not the most appropriate use of your time. So it's more the norm. But what my concern, in light of your concerns, is that the permit should say submit the plan by whatever time, if you want to say 120 days, but the plan must include proposed schedules for implementing the plan, and then when the staff approves the plan, then that schedule of implementing is part of the is an enforceable part of the permit. And I'm not sure if it does that. I'm trying to find the part about the plan.
Can I address that? What we, Dr. Hunter is correct in that the permit as drafted does not have any provisions for implementing the plan. But what we anticipated was we would get the plan, review it, and either approve it or ask for changes or at some point come up with a plan that we believe is appropriate. And then the executive officer would issue a revised monitoring and reporting program that would include all the requirements for the monitoring, including implementation requirements. And that would be done as soon or as quickly as possible after receiving the plan. And that would have the effect, the enforceable provisions for implementing the plan.
So the one thing I would ask staff to do in that case is to take account of some of the stormwater issues that have been raised, and certainly Mr. Jeffries' reference to reports that were submitted, because we are trying as a program to integrate our priorities across issues. So we've been looking at this as a CAFO under NPDES, but as Tom, as you mentioned, you hadn't looked at the nexus with the stormwater program. So here's an opportunity for us to make sure that we're connecting the dots and also to take a look historically at an area that clearly has had a history of contributing to the key problem in the Salinas Valley. And I thank Mr. Jeffries for reminding us of something that he had firsthand knowledge of, which may or may not be part of the context in which the staff looked at the conditions for this permit and the groundwater monitoring plan.
We can do that. Mr. Hodgson.
So when is this issue coming back to the board?
Well, we haven't formally.
If we adopt it,
it could come back whenever we want it to come back. But a year seems to
you
be.
You mentioned a year.
A year seems to be.
Can we give that as direction to the executive officer then?
Yeah,
that was part of the motion.
Yeah, that was my.
I think we're just trying to struggle here a little bit. I would like to vote yes on the motion. I just want some tighter time frames on getting these things in, and then I'm fine with it. I'm fine in a 5-year permit. I'm fine on having it obviously come back to us. I would just like to know in 1 year, when we see this, that we have a monitoring plan implemented, and we have some data,
right?
And then I'll be fine. Then I'm fine with what we do.
I think that's
and staff is saying, you know, you can get a monitoring program done much sooner than 120 days.
So I think
the plan.
Their plan.
Yeah,
Mr. Chairman. Yeah. And again, my motion originally was adopting staff's recommendation. We have modified that we would like a status report within a year, and we will modify the part that is in the applicant's control to create a plan. We've reduced that to 120 days. Beyond that, many other folks have control over the timetable, and I'd be reluctant to add any more timetable constraints. So again, I would ask that we call the question on that motion and see if we're done.
I'll second the motion. It's
been seconded, corrected. So that's a third.
Okay.
With
all right.
That for calling the question.
All right. I hear you. Go ahead.
Can I make one minor request?
Yes.
If we could have a little flexibility on the report, perhaps to make it the closest northern meeting after 1 year of this date?
Yes.
And we want to make sure that we have the first round of data. So it sounds like that would be very doable, but
right.
In case we have significant delays with reconciling public comments and that sort of thing.
Again, that's why I'm reluctant to have any tight timetable. I think we're trusting our staff to make it meaningful.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
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 Any opposed?
Mine's a qualified aye. since the changes of the original recommendation, I'll go along with it.
That's 6.5 votes.
Well, mine is a qualified aye also. I think that we could tighten up the 120 days, but, you know, we'll go ahead and go with the flow. And,
so to speak. Well, I think, you know, submitting a plan, we're not inventing a new wheel. We've got several of these. I mean, it's pretty well, they could submit it in 30 days for sure, or 60 at the latest. But I'll go along with 120 days.
Okay. Motion carries unanimously. All right, thank you very much.
Great.
All right, we should probably take a break because we haven't done that yet this morning. And when we come back, we will have public forum. We're going to resume. Mr. Packard, I had one question about that Gallo permit. And that was, is there a deadline for implementation of the groundwater monitoring program?
I believe there is not.
Okay.
But my point I was trying to make was we will make one, we will institute one when we revise the monitoring program.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Good.
And well, that will be sooner than later, under given all the comments today.
Yeah, that'll be immediately.
Okay.
As soon as
good.
We approve the plan, we'll implement it through a revision to the monitoring program, which will include with the requirements to actually implement.
Okay. Can you let Mr. Shimmick know when you have directed that to be implemented?
That'll be a very public process.
Okay. Good. All right. Thank you. We'll go to public.